What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply!
With Texas the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck and enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
The David Knight Show.
All right, welcome back. And joining us now is Anthony Frieda. He's got a new book that's coming out. We're going to talk to him about that, The Thought Crimes of Anthony Frieda. And he's been very successful as an artist, and his art is full of very important critiques of of what we see politically. He's actually had his art put on display at the 9/11 Museum and Memorial in New York City, and he's on the same page as we are, I think, about 9/11. His tenure with InfoWars as an illustrator and writer fully cemented his place in the world of controversial alternative news, and he's been very vocal about his role in that space, and so that's where I got to know Anthony, as well as his work with Gerald Celente and Trends Journal. So thank you for joining us, Anthony. Good to see you again.
Great to see you, David, and thanks for having me. Beautiful set.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I always wanted to talk to you about your background here, and there's a whole other aspect of your background that I wasn't aware of now that you're getting into Christian art, and you've got a project with that as well, and a GoFundMe to help realize that project. But let's talk about your personal journey here. You began doing copy stuff for the advertising industry, and you began helping them to sell Joe Camel. Talk a little bit about that and how you got from there to where you are now.
Yeah, so it's quite a journey. I've been doing it for 40 years, so I'll give you the condensed version. But yeah, I got out of art school. I had this dream of becoming this, you know, famous, prosperous, thriving artist. And I just wasn't prepared. I mean, I went to Pratt, at 4 years of training in art and painting and drawing, and I was pretty proficient, and I was, you know, pretty confident. But they really didn't train you how to make a living as an artist. So I sort of figured it out on my own. Like, oh, now I have to make a living doing this. So crossing that threshold from academia into the professional world for any artist is a scary time. I mean, I teach seniors now at FIT, and it's my way of giving back because I know how scared they are. And so I try to sort of pivot that.
And I think anxiety. It's a scarier time right now than ever has been. I mean, we look at AI, and a lot of people are just content to throw a prompt at AI and take whatever it gives them. What do you think about that? How is that going to affect art?
Well, I think it's going to be not just art. I think it's designed to create a post-human future where the robots do all the work, and they work 24 hours a day. And, I mean, the transhumanist, you know, elevator pitch or elevator to hell pitch is that the robots do everything for us, and we have the freedom to do whatever we want, and they'll give us a basic unit of income. I don't think it's going to work out that way, but that's their utopian, post-human, transhumanist future. Mm-hmm. I had my class yesterday. The kids were crying. They were literally crying because they just went to school for 4 years to learn how to be an artist, and now anyone who has an AI program can do what they do.
Yeah.
So it's very demoralizing. to the creatives, but to, I mean, same thing goes for the guys who, remember they said learn to code, like,
yeah,
not anymore.
Right. Yeah, they're putting themselves out of a job. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, the
yeah,
other part of it is, though, and I think we'll get to this when we get to where you are right now, the machine has no soul. It's going to put things together statistically. And it can copy and paste and throw things against the wall. And in a sense, it's a sophisticated version of a chimpanzee doing a painting, right? And so there is still going to be a niche there, I think, for the human soul communicating truth and beauty. I think that's really the issue there. And that's what we have to focus on. And I think that that's going to be pretty obvious to people. You know, there's a lot of things that AI can do, especially, I think, in the art aspect, because it can hallucinate. And kind of, it looks like it's, you know, having a drug trip or whatever. And that can be useful in art or even in music to some degree. But when you look at the kind of, when I look at it for music, for example, the thing about AI is that you can't precisely get it to do what you want. You know, it can get like 80% there or 85% there, which is not good enough for art. As many people have said, art is never finished. It's simply abandoned. At some point, you got to stop tweaking it and just go do something different, the next project or whatever. And I think that's the problem with AI. It just throws this stuff out there and people say, ah, that's good enough. I think there's going to be a qualitative difference that people will be able to tell, that last 15 or 20% that is there.
Yeah, that's my hope. I agree with you.
Yeah, that's my hope.
Well, me too. But I think you're right. Listen, our advantage moving forward is the robots don't laugh, they don't cry, they don't love.
That's right.
They're not connected to God. In fact, I think it's the opposite. I have this idea that just as the Holy Spirit is this unifying force and universal force of good, mm-hmm. and God, the obverse, the yin to that yang, is this unifying force of darkness, which informs and is, which has basically a cauldron for this AI to be created. And we're incarnating it by giving it prompts and giving it life. But that spirit is a dark spirit, and I sense that and I feel that. It's an anti-human spirit.
I agree.
But
so does Elon. Elon Musk agrees with you as well. He said, we're summoning the demon. It's like, yeah, maybe we should pay attention to what he's saying about that. He knows that.
Yeah, no, some of these guys who are atheists say there's something here that mathematics doesn't, you know, describe or define. So it's something beyond mathematics. So what's going on? They don't even know. The guys who created it don't even know how.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply! 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 Multiply!
With Best, the cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck. And enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the cash scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
You know, these systems arrive at the decisions that they make.
That's right.
To a certain point, it's called black box technology, right? It's opaque, mm-hmm. but robots understand it. But they might not. But they understand us, though. That's the problem. Like, we don't understand how they do what they do, but they understand us. I mean, they have so much big data about humanity and what moves us and how to influence us that it's a lopsided relationship.
That's why it's such a good fit for the government, because the government knows everything about us, but the government itself is, by design, a black box. That black box is labeled national security. We can't tell you, or we'd have to kill you, right?
So, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I could talk about AI for hours, but...
But let's go back to your story. You were doing, started working at an ad agency as you got out, trying to...
Started working at an ad agency. Yeah, I was a young man, I lusted after money and woman, and I was in my 20s, and I became very successful working for Fortune 500 companies, and I was in advertising about 10 years, and I started to learn and see all the psychological tricks and manipulations, you know, informed by the ideas of Edward Bernays and his book Propaganda. Yeah. He was the master of mass psychological manipulation, right? And yes. That was employed. He was contracted by the government and by aid agencies. It's a long story, but those ideas work because people respond positively to certain stimuli, negatively to other stimuli. Like, we're pretty predictable animals. Mm-hmm. And once you break that code, you're trying to sell something, and you're smart and clever, you can figure out a way to do it. But I got really turned off. I was working on the Joel Campbell ad campaign, and in those days, they were, you know, paying us a lot of money to do this stuff, and I was just enamored with the money, and I bought a, you know, a condo in Manhattan, and I thought I was, like, living on top of the world. And then, so I kind of got lost in that world of money and success. And then the FTC determined that our campaign was illegal because we were using cartoon camels. They said we were marketing cigarettes to children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I sort of had a moral crisis, and I didn't become an artist to sell cigarettes to kids, right? And I said, look, you know.
Maybe you can get a job for Pfizer because they sell poison to kids all the time.
Well, that's later on in the story.
Yeah.
So I had this moral crisis, this come to Jesus moment. I said, that's it. I'm done with advertising. Yeah. I'm not going to sell my soul to the devil.
Good.
So I was still, you know, now I'm a young man in my 30s. I was pretty naive politically at that time. And I said, I'm going to work for the good guys, right? I'm going to work for New York Times and the New Yorker, and I started working for, you know, all these mainstream publications as an editorial illustrator, and I worked for the op-ed page of the New York Times, which is like a premier showcase for thinkers and for it's kind of like where the elite speak to each other.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was, again, I was on top of the world. I'm working like, you know, the best place for an illustrator to be, and I was doing articles for them on a regular basis. And then I got to see how the sausage is made there. And the art director and the editor told me that every single word that goes through here has to be vetted by the State Department. And I said, I thought, you know, you're the fourth word. I said, that's like Pravda. What do you mean every word has to be vetted by the State Department? And they said, that's how it is. So my naivete started to, you know, unravel at that point. I started to become a little more educated about how the world really works. And I feel silly now saying that, but I thought the New York Times was this, like, beacon of truth and objectivity. I mean, I couldn't be more wrong. But so I got an assignment to do an op-ed piece right before the Iraq War, penned by then Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. And it was outlining all the lies that we know now that took us to that war. Mm-hmm. And I illustrated the piece. And then I had another moral crisis because I said to myself, my God, I went from selling cigarettes to kids to selling war. Like, this is even worse. I didn't think I could do worse than that, but I did. So I had another, you know, time to question, what am I doing with my life? What are my life choices? What do I really want to do with my skills and my whatever gift God's given me and my passions? And I mean, I love to create imagery. It's like the only thing I'm good at. So I wanted to stay in that lane. So right then was about the time that these seminal alternative news sites started coming out, like InfoWars, and there was a few others, and Trends Journal, and, mm-hmm. and I reached out to them, and because I figured these guys are exposing the lies of the mainstream media that I used to work for, mm-hmm. and of the advertising agencies I used to work for. So I wanted to bite the hand that fed me. So I started working for people in the health freedom movement, people in the liberty movement, people in all these different movements, you know, people like you included. And I've been there ever since because I do think there are good people out there who are trying to get to the truth of the matter about all these issues, and journalists and activists and filmmakers and writers, and I've worked for a lot of them, and they're my heroes. And politically, I was under contract for the RFK campaign when he was running for president, because mm-hmm. I believed in what he was doing and his work to expose the vaccines and the dangers of pharmaceuticals.
Right.
So I still have a hand in the political realm, but I'm basically working for people who I think are the good guys, you know, mm-hmm. that I can sleep well at night now, David, because I think I'm working for.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you got to do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're going to give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply!
With Bets the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck and enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Or at least trying to tell the truth, you know? It's like,
yeah.
It's not equivalent like when people get fined for, like, the way they went after Alex for what he said. Like, the New York Times and CNN tell lies of much greater magnitude every day, and nobody gets sued. And by the way, their lies lead to wars that kill millions of people. Their lies That's sell right. products that kill millions of people, like, and they're never held accountable. And then, they're not, the difference between them and, say, what independent journalists do is that they're purposely trying to lie to you. They know they're lying to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to make a mistake in the search for the truth. We're not always going to be perfect, but there's a big difference to somebody who's purposely knowing to lie to you to hurt you and your children than somebody who's just trying to figure out in real time what the hell's going on, because it's very confusing.
I agree. Yeah.
We've been lied to so much about everything that people become so skeptical that, you know, I think it fosters this environment where nobody believes anything. And that's yes. where we're at now. Nobody believes anything. So they come up with 100 different theories of how Charlie Kirk was killed, right? No, because nobody believes the official story.
That's right.
And we can never get to the bottom of anything because everybody has their own theory about what happened. And there's no universal truth anymore. We're in the post-truth age. And I think that's so truth is going to be the greatest, most valuable commodity.
I agree.
In the future.
Here's what you need. Here's the fundamental truth. Government lies. It always has, always will, for its own interest. So if you understand that and come to whatever the government says or the official press says with a healthy dose of skepticism, I think that's the most important thing. You know, you mentioned the fact that you realize that they had to get the approval of the State Department for what they were saying at the New York Times. And, of course, we know about Operation Mockingbird and the rest of this stuff. I thought it was really amazing, the disingenuous astonishment at the fact that Hegseth openly said, well, you're going to have to get approval for anything that you release. I don't like that, but that's not anything that's really different. The only thing that's different about that is that they're going to own it and say it out loud rather than doing it behind closed doors. I had a friend who worked at the Pentagon, and he worked for the side that was vetting movie scripts. If they liked your movie script, if it was complimentary of them and their agenda, they would give you access to military equipment that you could use to film your movie. If they didn't like it, you didn't get that equipment, and that might sink your movie because of the expense of trying to get that equipment. Otherwise, they'd provide it at a reduced cost or for free. So that kind of thing has been going along for a very long time. Yeah.
Yeah, Frank, I mean, I'm still surprised. I'm old enough to remember Frank Church, the Church Committee hearings. Like, he had the receipts. He proved it back in the 70s, and mm-hmm. nobody cared. It's like it did nothing. They just went back to business as usual.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, you know, thank God for him and his work, but I mean, it really didn't do anything in the big picture.
Yeah. And all the stuff about the heart attack gun, as I've said before, that was a distraction, because the whole thing began because from their inception, the CIA and the NSA were spying on Americans without a search warrant, which, you know, takes us, we've been fighting that thing going up to, 2012, 2013, Ed Snowden and all the rest of the stuff. So the result of that was still, the result of the Church Committee hearings was the FISA Act, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which they then used to give themselves legal cover to do what they'd been doing from their inception, which was to spy on Americans without a search warrant, as Rand Paul says, spying on Mr. and Mrs. Verizon. You know, you go to one judge in a secret court that nobody knows about, and you get legal cover to violate the Constitution. So they always turn this stuff to their own advantage.
Well, yeah, and speaking of that subject, I worked, one of my heroes is William Binney, and I had the pleasure of working on a documentary about William. I met him, just a great guy, and he quit because he said the systems he designed to spy on potential terrorists would be being used to spy on everybody.
Yeah.
And that's against the oath he took, and that's illegal, and he said he's not going to do it. So what do? The FBI raided his house and arrested him under false pretenses and false charges. So just get back to my journey.
Yeah.
So I don't lose track. After the RFK thing, I worked for him for a year, and it was a great experience, and I got to see just how dirty the Democrats are. I mean, Republicans basically left him alone. You know, Trump would make some, you know, nasty comments now and then, but the Democrats actively tried to destroy him with lawsuits and moles and people doing dirty tricks. And it was a constant, relentless assault on him that it really opened my eyes again. I mean, I was naive again. Like I underestimate how evil these people are and how willing they are to be corrupt and to use the power they have or abuse any power they have in the courts, in the media, in academia, in tech. I mean, which they control those institutions, unfortunately. And it sickened me. It sickened me the way that they smeared him and lied about him and sued him and tried to play dirty tricks with ballots and just on and on and on.
Oh, yeah.
So then I got out. That made me realize that the battle isn't political. This battle is spiritual. So I wanted to move from the temporal plane into the spiritual plane of my work and get back to my Christian roots. I was raised a Catholic. And I had a personal experience where my fiance, started having seizures one night. We were watching, actually, there was the Obama movie. It was like an apocalyptic Obama movie, Leave the World Behind. Which turned out to be a foreboding title because my girlfriends were watching this. She says, my heart hurts and I don't feel right. And I said, maybe it's anxiety from this Obama show. You know, screw Obama. Let's not watch this. It's upsetting you. And then she just went into seizures. And she was extremely healthy. She was extremely – there was nothing, no pre-existing condition. She just started convulsing and seizing. And just went 1,000-yard stare and stopped breathing. And I'm not a doctor, but I think breathing is pretty important. And I didn't know what to do, David. I felt so inadequate and helpless. I had no idea what to do. Like, should I do chest compression or Heimlich maneuver? I didn't know what to do except to call 911. And I just held her, and she was in this state of like a comatose state. I didn't know if she was dying. I thought she was dying. And then she came out of it for a brief moment from this look of just terror and fear to this calm, and this peace came over her, and she started laughing. And I started like, was this all a joke? But she's not that she's not that kind of person. And she was laughing, and her whole face, just her whole body, was just relaxed, and she was at a place of peace. And then she clenched back and went back into this convulsive state.
Wow.
And I believe, like, she went to the other side.
Hmm.
I believe she was at peace with God for a brief period, and that it just wasn't her time, or she just got sent back, or I don't know, obviously, what happened, but it was extraordinary.
Does she have any recollection of that?
None of any of it. Hmm. Your brain doesn't remember that stuff, and probably to protect you. Hmm. But it was extraordinary, and it reawakened my faith, and that was a year and a half ago, and thank God she's healthy now. 75% of the people who go through when she went through, it was a brain bleed.
Hmm.
75% of the people die that it happens to.
Wow.
So she was in a coma. She had a long convalescence, but thank God she's healthy now.
Yes.
And it brought both of us closer to God, and it made me want to dedicate my work to the Lord. And every piece I do now is a devotion to God. Every stroke of my pen is a meditation, a prayer. And I want
great.
To lean into that as much as I possibly can.
That's great. You know, before you came on, we were talking about what's going on in Canterbury Cathedral. And that used to be the basis for why people would make these elaborate cathedrals. It was out of a devotion to God and wanting to honor Him. And, of course, depending on what gifts He has given us, we can all have different ways that we can do that. And, whatever your job is, you can always do it in a way that you try to honor God. And what do you think about it? Did you see that story where they paid somebody to do graffiti on the interior walls of Canterbury Cathedral? Did you see that?
Yeah, to me it's it's worse than graffiti. It's vandalism. But,
yeah.
It's so funny because these things that were created in the so-called dark ages, they couldn't make those today.
That's right.
And it's because of what you said. It's because they weren't doing it for the profit motive, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were doing it for the profit motive, spelled differently. And that's the only way humans can create something like that. Your heart and soul has to be in it. I mean, you go into those cathedrals and you feel the presence of God. You feel the presence of the highest achievement humanity is capable of. And they did it in the so-called dark ages, like with none of the tools, none of the technology we have. Like,
that's right.
It's astonishing. And it's just the amount of time and human labor and life force and sacrifice and artistry and craftsmanship and skill that went into those things. Just that alone is enough to uplift your spirit. They're uplifting edifices and monuments. And today we have monuments like the 9/11 monument, which is it's a black box. It's a hole. It's like a giant urinal. You go to that black box memorial, and it's just like a spinning, sucking hole to hell.
Wow.
Where no light escapes. And it's just, there's nothing uplifting about it.
That's right.
I've had this guy say, you want to jump in and kill yourself and be sucked into hell.
Wow.
So that's the feeling I get when I go there. And I think in some ways it's appropriate considering that we know what happened there.
Yeah.
But it's just the answer to everything, I think, is just we got to try to live like saints. I mean, if everybody lived to the better angels, the whole world would overnight become a better place.
Yes.
Everybody's trying to fix, going to all these marches and protests and all this nonsense. And it's like, fix yourself first.
That's right.
If you fix yourself and you just be a good person, that's it. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't hurt your neighbor. That alone, there'll be no more crime, right? Why would there be crime? Crime is based on a human doing something that he knows is sinful and knows is illegal and knows is wrong. So instead of trying to fix the world from the outside, you gotta fix it inwardly. You know, get closer to God and understand that the infinite power and glory of God is not a separate thing from you. It's within you. That light is within you. And you just need to accept it and let that connection grow and become stronger with everything you do. And every good thing you do makes it stronger. You feel closer to God from every good thing you do, every good work you make.
And I agree. Yeah. Yeah, it was a very powerful sermon that they actually wound up doing as a lecture as to what is wrong with our society, I think. Because when you look at the graffiti, not only did they go into a place that was beautiful and uplifting, and they essentially tear it down with their ugly stuff that they put on it. And the ugliest thing about what they were putting on there with their graffiti was what it actually said. It was a rage against God and His creation, every bit of it. And that's really kind of shows us where our society is. So the Church of England is still setting the foundation.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply, 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 multiply!
With X to the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck. And enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
For England, it's just setting a satanic foundation that is there. And
absolutely. That's satanic. Purposeful defilement. It's like putting the cross upside down. Like everything they do is an inversion. Like the pentagram, the original five-point star was supposed to represent the five wounds of Christ. And so the Satanists inverted it and turned it into the pentagram. So those symbols are very important, and imagery is important, and they know that, and they use it to their satanic purposes.
Yes.
And the defilement of God and the dishonoring of God and we see the result. Just look around you. I mean, it's like there's demons everywhere, and there's demons in high places and low places, and you know, a society rots from the top down. I think it starts with these people who design these so-called utopias for us, like the AI post-human utopia. I think they hate themselves, the misanthropes, and they project their hatred, self-hatred onto humanity. And then if they can destroy humanity, they can somehow destroy the parts of themselves that they hate, like in a Jungian shadow sort of.
I agree, yeah. Especially when you look at the transgender stuff. The purpose of that is to take very young, impressionable people, or maybe even somebody who's an adult and that's very impressionable, like Christopher Beck, who was a Navy SEAL that they pushed into becoming a trainee. But it's to train them to hate their body, to hate themselves, and then to engage in self-mutilation. And so I think that is truly the satanic aspect of it. Tell us a little bit about your project, Jesus Park, that you're working on. You got a GoFundMe attached to that as well. But tell us about that. I think we got a picture, Lance, of that you can show the audience of that.
So Free Fighter is the, I just started. I had this.
There we go.
I had this this vision, David, of this park in this beautiful sort of pastoral natural setting with trees and rocks and I've done a lot of imagery of Christ, and I wanted to create the face of Christ out of all natural materials, like His crown of thorns would be actual trees, like, you know, so the scale would be enormous, like His face might take up a half acre or more, but it'll be a place of contemplation, a place of prayer, a place of peace, and for me, it'll be a labor of love and a devotion to God. And they say it came to me in a dream, a download, and I just feel like I have to make this thing. And while I'm still young enough,
yeah,
which might not be my, So that's what I'm working on right now. And I do need some funds to realize it. Talking to some churches and to have land and trying to find the right spot for it. But I think it would be, an incredible lasting, monument and shrine really that I hope that people can enjoy.
And so you'd be able to see the picture that we got. That'd be like an aerial view that people would be able to see.
Yeah, so you can see in my vision, you know, I've done models of it, and it's, I mean, if it's on a slight slope, you should be able to make out his face from the ground. Mm-hmm. But you won't be able to get the full picture, so maybe, you know, from a drone shot or something like that. But mm-hmm. you'll be able to see what it is, and it looks great in my dream, you know. Now I just have to make it real.
Have you got any? You haven't got a site for it yet, but are you angling for any particular geographical area that would have large population?
I live on Long Island, and there's this beautiful shrine out on the east end of Long Island called Our Lady of the Island, and they have, I think, about 100 acres of land, and there's a beautiful 20-foot marble sculpture of Mary. There's an outdoor church that I go to there. And it overlooks the Great South Bay. It's just an incredible spot. And they have a lot of land there. So I reached out to them. I don't know if it's going to work out, but, you know, there's a lot of logistics involved. So it's going to take some planning and a little time, but I'm determined. So if I have to at some point just buy a small piece of land, maybe upstate New York, you can get inexpensive land. Whatever I have to do, you know, I'm going to make this happen.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, in Tennessee, land is fairly cheap, and they have a lot of unusual sites for people to come see. So you might get a lot of traffic there if you put it further south. But
That's a good idea. I don't know much about it, but I'll take a ride down to Tennessee. Why not?
Yeah. Instead of people going to see Rock City, they can go see the Jesus Park that's there. Where can people find the GoFundMe? How do they find that?
Well, you can find all of my thought crimes on, if you go just anthonyfrieda.com, anthonyfrieda.com. Like, there's links to all my projects there.
Okay, good. And your book is not out yet, is it? Thought Crimes of Anthony Frieda? Is that out yet?
No, that's not, but that was, the title was inspired by an actual crime that was happened because of my artwork. I did a book cover for C.J. Hopkins, who wrote this book, The Rise and Fall of the New Normal. And I did a takeoff of Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, that cover, and I put the COVID mask with a swastika barely visible behind the mask, the COVID mask. And they decided to charge him for disseminating Nazi propaganda in Germany. And he was facing like years in prison.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my book cover, and all he did was tweet that cover to get indicted. So that's a literal crime that I've been involved with as an accessory.
So you can't use the symbols of the Nazi regime, but you can act like Nazis, and that's okay, right?
No, right. No, but it's selectively enforced because, you know, they're stern. And magazines in Germany, they'll show Trump in full Hitler regalia all the time. That's just that's fine. And if it's used for the purposes of the left, they get a pass. And CJ is not even a right wing guy. He's just one of these guys who is a skeptic. He questions everything. So it's kind of ironic that they're using this illegal subversion of their own laws, which is something the Nazis would do to prove that they're not Nazis. You know, it's like, there's a lot of ironies there, but, anyway, he has this ongoing legal battle with them. And in Germany, they don't have double jeopardy like we do. So they charged him and he went to trial and he was acquitted. And now they're going to charge him again with the same crime.
Just keep coming.
They can keep coming until they get the verdict they want.
Wow. Wow. And it's not a new incident of anything. It's for the same exact thing, right? Well, we just had somebody that was arrested here in Tennessee for a meme that he put up. And they got him in, you know, $2 million bond to get him out of jail. And again, it was because, and we see this kind of censorship is going on both the left and the right. This was about the fact that this guy didn't like Charlie Kirk or conservatives, and so there was a school that was going to have an event to honor Charlie Kirk. And he put up a meme that he didn't even create, that other people had created. It was a picture of Trump, and it was a quote about what Trump had said about a school shooting. And it said, we got to get over this and move on. And so he put that up as his comment about the Charlie Kirk shooting. And because the place that he did it was something like Perry, Idaho or something, was where the high school was, that where the shooting had been. And this was in Perry County. And they said, well, you were trying to intimidate people here in Perry County by using this meme that you didn't even create. And so the sheriff arrested him for that. $2 million bail. We're seeing free speech attacked everywhere. Every country, every political philosophy is coming for speech, because especially when we're looking at memes or political commentary like you do, it's very, very powerful. They wouldn't be coming after it otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm pretty certain he's going to win that lawsuit, because that's outrageous. but yeah, I mean, I'm used to censorship, and I know you've been through it too, constantly deplatformed and demonetized and de this and de that. And it's just, you know, and by the way, everything that I was, you know, censored for, turns out I was right about.
That's right.
I never got I was right about all of it. Every single thing I said, it was mostly about COVID. Yeah. And then I'm also fairly certain I was put on a domestic terror list, because Biden had a list of anyone who questioned the COVID narrative was put on a list.
Yeah.
And I was high profile about that. So, I mean, I'm considered a potential violent, they use the word violent, potential violent domestic extremist terrorist if you were questioning COVID.
That's right.
Narrative.
Yeah, because they say that, you know, speech is violence. And I say, no, censorship is violence. And the people who use and enforce censorship are the ones who usually do resort to violence one shape or the other, you know, like arresting this guy. The sad thing is that you see that both sides of the political spectrum, and I'm talking about not just the politicians, but I'm talking about the grassroots people, are cheering this kind of censorship if they don't like what you have to say. We have lost the understanding of the importance of free speech in our society, and that includes America. It's not just in Europe, but it's in America as well. People don't realize that these tools of tyranny will be used against them eventually, and have already been used against them in many cases, and they still are cheering this on. It's truly amazing. I don't know how to get around it. Yeah.
I don't know. I've never seen the country so divided. There's no room. That's why, you know, the Charlie Kirk thing was so symbolic, because if you're not going to talk, you're going to kill each other. And
that's right.
People were doing that. It's like, because they don't want to talk. They want to kill. And what is that? I mean, I know you're a great student of history. Like, where does this go? It goes one place called the Civil War. That's where it goes. It's just like, this is nothing new. We've seen it thousands of times before, all throughout history. This, when there's a divide of this extreme nature, where there's no communication, you're either good or evil, you're either with me or against me, it leads to civil war. I mean, I don't know how close we are to it, but unless something radically changes, which I don't see any evidence of, we're in some perilous times here.
I agree. Yeah, we have we've lost our foundation. You know, we've lost our foundation in terms of principles that made the West great. And we've lost our foundation because we've turned our back on God. That's what we were talking about earlier. And that truly is the foundation, is the Lord
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. And once we turn away from that, we are adrift as a society. And so even though we used to have guns everywhere, now the guns are being turned on each other and being used on us. And there's a lot of different aspects to it. I think the heavy use of drugs is a part of that. I think that even plays a role, actually, in the technocrats. I had been told years ago that when these guys would go hang out at the Burning Man thing, that they were dropping, LSD, and they were also taking, what was that, DMT or something, where they come in contact with machine elves. And the interesting thing about this is that you hear from the same people who are in different geographical areas. They start talking about how they had the same types of encounters. And they're channeling technology from these entities that they're coming in contact with. And you can have people in radically different places that have the same experiences that are there. They even call them psychonauts. Not nuts, but knots, like an astronaut or something. And so
that's sort of, it's interdimensional travel, I think. I mean, they're opening a portal to hell, for lack of a better word. I mean, this hell's another dimension, heaven's.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply!
With X the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck and enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Dimension. Our plane is dimension. And those drugs somehow, I don't know how it works. I can't even come close to explain it, but it makes the veil between the dimensions permeable.
Yeah.
And they're able to permeate with these substances, and it's a dark energy, and we're seeing it. And that's connected to the whole AI thing we were talking about before.
Yes.
And these drugs are facilitating it, and you're totally right. But the other thing is, when you turn away from God, I mean, Deepak Chopra said you leave a God-shaped hole. So what do you fill that hole with? You're going to fill it with drugs or porn or wokeism or something, or Satan. You know, it's like it has to be filled, because that's part of our human makeup, that we have to have something to believe in. So if you don't fill it with God, the alternatives are anti-human, and they're satanic, and they're dark. You're taking something that should be filled with light, and you're filling it with darkness.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, you know, it is kind of interesting. I use this quite a bit to attack the pharmaceutical companies. I'd call them pharmakia, because that's the Greek term that's used in the New Testament. It's frequently was translated as sorcery, because people would include these hallucinogenic drugs as part of their spiritual experience and that type of thing. That's a very old thing. But also it talks about how the pharmakia and the great men of the world would not repent of their murders. That's how I was using it for the pharmaceutical companies, and I thought it really fit. But that really is what we're seeing. And with all the technology that we've got, and all of this idea about how we are so scientific and materialistic, and we don't believe anything unless we can measure it, well, that we have seen over and over again is simply not true. The people that we disagree with are more than willing to pursue by faith a lot of different things. Whether you're talking about the climate change agenda or the pandemic, they accept a lot of stuff on the basis of faith. It's just what they have faith in. They have faith in these institutions. They have faith in people who have credentials that say that they're a scientist or an authority in something. So it's just a difference in what they have faith in. But I think it's very important what you're doing in terms of artwork. That gets to people on a different level than just talking to them straight about the facts. You know, whenever we can engage the emotions, and art does that, and, you know, movies do that, and Christians are starting to learn to use the tools of movie making. And so I think there's going to be some very important work that is done there. But gradually the Christian movie industry is picking up. But I think there's so much that's been lost in terms of artwork that would move people. I think that what you're doing is very important.
Well, thank you, David. Yeah, and speaking of film, I started working with a film production company. I think you're right. The answer is to create a parallel M&E economy that is in accordance with our values.
Yeah.
And the values of Western civilization and Christendom, the things that we have faith in, things that we believe in. And a lot of it's been sort of kind of hokey, kitschy stuff up to this point, but we're trying to create, with Man Alive Media Group, this group I'm working with, right now we're working on a film about World War One. We're going to do a film about Joan of Arc, and we're trying to make them very high-minded and to the best of our ability, great pieces of art, because you're right, art speaks on a different level than just, it's a conversation, a different kind of conversation. It's like, you know, poetry or prose, it's like, it's something that engages our mind in a different way, and hopefully opens up and our mind to this conversation. But we have to be able to talk, and censorship is the enemy of all of us, because then we're not talking. And if we're not talking, we're probably shooting each other. That's because
right. So we make peaceful change impossible, we make violent change inevitable, as Kennedy said. That's right. And I think it's very important, you know, for the longest time, Christians have retreated from the arts, and they feel like the best way to engage people is with a didactic aspect. And, of course, there's value in that, but there's another way to reach people, and that is by showing them, you know, and portraying as a narrative. I just talked to the author of Flags of Our Fathers, who's just done a book on Vietnam. He spent 10 years in Vietnam talking to people there. And his name is James, was it James Bradley? I think it was Bradley or Radley. I'm sorry, I can't remember his last name, but very interesting guy. And when he did this book, you know, his previous books were nonfiction, but he wanted to do a fictional book because he said there were so many facets and so many different things that he had to use fictional characters to bring them together. And so not only does it engage our emotions more so if we have a narrative story, but it also allows us to pull together the relevant things in a way that we couldn't if we had to stick to exactly what the true story was. And Hollywood knows that for the longest time. You go see something that's based on a true event, they always change it, always begin, this is based on a true story, but the actual characters are fictionalized and so forth. They always do that. And so I think it's good, the kind of projects that you mentioned there, when we're talking about people living their life according to Christian principles. I think that's probably the best way that that can be done, rather than going in to the Bible and then fictionalizing that. That always kind of rubs me the wrong way. Trying to rewrite it. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be didactic or so blatant. Like, I mean, there was great Christian authors, you know, Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, and they were coming up with their own mythology to sort of mirror Christian themes without, you know, saying literally this is Jesus and this is what happened.
That's right.
So, you know, Christianity to me is a myth that's true.
Yes.
But we need to create alternative myths to reinforce that myth, to bring people to us, because it's just so boring to just, you know, tell the same story. Even in brilliant filmmakers' hands, like, it's been done, and it's just going to turn a lot of people off. But if you do it in a way that's creative and original and interesting and unexpected and entertaining and edifying, now it's something different. Now it's a work of art on its own, not just pastiche and not just biblical scripture translated into film.
That's right. I remember the film critic Brian Godawa, and he actually was able to do a film. I think it was called To End All Wars. I'm not sure about that, but it took place American soldiers in Japanese prison camp during World War II. But his whole idea is that, very much like, you know, I think it was C.S. Lewis who said that the Christian myth is the greatest myth, and it's real. You know, he doesn't mean that it's fictional. He just means by myth, he means an epic story. And so that was kind of Brian Godawa's take on it. He said, you know, every one of our the stories that really resonate with people always have a redemptive arc in the story. And he did a really good job with that. And he also would kind of draw that out in his film reviews that he did. But that I think is something that, you know, if we're not going to be able to fight a culture war if we don't have culture, someone said. I think that's exactly
that's
true,
line.
Right?
I gotta steal that line, David.
We're going in unarmed, right?
I mean, yeah, it's stating the obvious, but yeah, I mean, we got to listen. You know, it's on us. You know,
yeah.
I think it's incumbent upon Christians of people who are means, people who are creative, people who have talent or something to give, like, put it towards the cause, because the other side certainly is, you know, the Satanists and the demons and the woke lunatics and the Islamicists and the Marxists, like, they're all on board. You know, you just watch Netflix and there's messaging in every single thing they do.
Oh, yeah.
It's all anti-Christian, anti-male, anti-white, anti-American, and it's just, I mean, it's so ham-fisted, but they shoehorn it into everything. A story has nothing to do with what they're talking about, though. You know, white people are bad. Like, what does that have to do with the comedy I was watching? So,
that's right.
You know, we could do it more artfully. There's so many great artists and writers out there that are Christian, and we need to come together and build these teams, and that's what I'm trying to do in my own little way.
That's great. So, best place for people to find out how they can get your book when it's available, and also to find out about the Jesus Park if they want to get involved in the GoFundMe, would be to go to your website, Anthony Freda, and that is FREDA.com, right? Is that the best way for them to find you? Anthony, it's always been great talking to you. I only had a chance to meet you once, and that was up at Gerald's event 4 years ago, and his Occupy Peace thing. And so when I saw that you had a book out there, I was like, oh, yeah, I'd definitely love to talk to Anthony about that. You got a great story to tell, and it's been a great journey that you've been on. I really want to thank you for the work that you have done. It's been very important, and look forward to a lot more to come from you in the future. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, David.
All right, thank you. Let me, before we run out of time, let me get to some of the comments that are up here. And as Lance, my producer, said, Jesus used parables and analogies. That's right. So we're following in the right way when we use those type of things as well. It's one of his favorite ways to get a point across was to use a parable, a story about something. And in most cases, I think there was at least one or two that were not fictional, but they were all giving a story there. And Crash and Splash 75 says, average lifespan of lithium miner, 30 years. So enjoy your battery. That's like a lot of these things. Cobalt as well. Cobalt is being dug out of the mines by young children operating at slave wages, and a situation that kills them. So, yeah, that is we have to understand that's behind a lot of this stuff. Car insurance is now higher to pay for than battery burns, says Jolson's. And Guard Goldsmith, good to see you, Guard. Liberty Conspiracy says, last year, the very U.S. government bureau tasked with promoting EV travel banned EV bikes and scooters from being brought into their Colorado building for fear of fire. That's right. Jason Barker, nice as a storm. Good to see you. He says, AI is good for memes, but not for real art. Meme, images, and music. And that's really, you know, what it does. I mean, a meme just kind of picks up on a theme and imitates it. And that's precisely what AI is. But the real danger of AI is not that it's going to become some self-aware Skynet thing. I think the real danger is that it is a very effective tool for pulling together data and for doing searches and surveillance that can be used to control us. That's really where the devil is in that detail. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a good day. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Past to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an Elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.